Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, kicks off now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of hard work ahead of us, or we're going to ever restore the Republic. Wow. Some say it's not even possible. We'll dig into that as the broadcast unfolds. A quick recap of yesterday's show, then we'll dive right into the news the networks refuse to use with my two-hour co-host today. We had our co-host, or guest, if you will. I call them guests because then I can highlight their work every day. But, you know, most of them are with us, frequent guests, really more like co-hosts, if you will. But Chris Carlson was with me, a discussion of all things liberty. We talked about, can these two founders help a divided America heal? Yeah, it was a dream that healed bitterness between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Chuck Norris writes an article in WND.com where he highlights a possible path to reunite the United States of America. He says, I've never seen America more divided. The outcome, these bitter enemies, prodded by a friend Benjamin Rush's dream, were brought back together for the last several years of their lives. Believe it or not, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the very same day, about 3 hours apart. July 4th, 1826, virtually the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Wow. Interesting story to tell, to say the least. And before I even continue with the recap of yesterday's broadcast, I want to dig in and have our guest chime in on this. She's an expert historian and more on the Founding Fathers. So Chuck Norris wrote that article about John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Are you familiar with the bitter brawl between the two? And they started out as friends and built a nation together along with others. But then they had a falling out, had an incredible battle, a presidential election in the 1800 kind of era. And then they eventually heard about Benjamin Rush's dream. He had a dream and wrote them a letter, told them all about it, and et cetera, et cetera. Very interesting arch rivalry, but yet unification to some degree. Are you familiar with that, Becky?
Oh, I sure am. And I've always thought what an incredible sense of humor the Lord has that he took both of them within a couple of hours of each other on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. I mean, that's just astounding to me. I never get over marveling at it.
Well, the Lord certainly has his focus and his agenda that will not be derailed no matter what man tries to do, number one. Number two, though, Chuck Norris writing an article bringing this point up, saying, hey, you know what? Can the nation follow kind of a similar idea and possibly heal? Or are the divides in the country just way too great? Your thoughts?
It's a lovely sentiment, but it seems to me he doesn't quite understand Marxism, because that's what we're dealing with here. It goes by a number of names, whether progressive, whether socialist, democratic socialist, but Marxists never, ever give up power voluntarily. It's not happened in world history, okay? You have to fight your way. You know, there's a popular internet theme that you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out. And that is very much what happens. If anyone out there thinks that the dishonesty that we saw in the last election, that, you know, half the country is willing to give a pass to the Democratic Party, actually it's a Marxist party, we shouldn't be misled by their name or the fact that they've been around for a while. This party is now totally Marxist, and it tries to implement a Marxist agenda. It now stole an election, which is typical of Marxists. This is how they take over a country. They frequently brag about their long march through our institutions. They have perverted the American church. They have perverted the American public educational system. Not that it was ever a great thing, and government never should be involved in education. We ought to all be up in arms about that. But still, the Marxists went in and they've completely perverted education. And now we're watching as people who are finally catching on, parents, are standing up against this nonsense. These Marxists have lusted after power in America for 100 years, 120 years. Now that they finally have it, they are not going to voluntarily relinquish it. We will have to go to war with them before we will pry them out of the seats in Congress that they have subsumed and before we get them out of the presidency. They stole that election. Usually thieves are not anxious to give up what they have gone to the trouble of stealing. Thieves will defend themselves from anyone trying to recover their own property with deadly force. Marxists, likewise, will defend their sudden grab for power, their successful grab for power, with force. They're not interested in reconciliation. If you know anything about the 1960s and the Cold War with Russia, that was frequently stated that these people are not interested in reconciliation or peace, that when communists talk about peace, what they mean is you give in to them. And that is what American communists as well will expect. They will expect us to give in to them. That is their idea on reconciliation. So if we mean to live free, if we mean to be more than serfs in a feudalistic Marxist utopia, we're going to have to fight.
It's a sad tale to tell. And I wish I could say you were wrong, because I want peace. I follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. I don't want war. I don't want turmoil. I don't want force. I don't want anger. I don't want hatred. I don't want division. It's not what I believe in. However, I do understand that we have a responsibility given to us by God Almighty himself to protect our wives, our children, our sacred honor, to put on the altar our lives, our fortune, our reputations, everything for the cause of liberty. For without life, liberty, and property, we end up slaves on the very continent that our founders fought for. And so the legacy must go forward. I want to lead with a humble view, but at the same time, there are lines that we cannot cross if we're honorable men and women. And so this is, you know, they're putting us in an impossible spot, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. But we should look on this as self-defense. That's all it is.
There's no question.
Pardon me?
I said there's no question about that.
Yeah, we're defending ourselves and our property. Because make no mistake, the Marxists are after your property. And if you think, well, I don't have enough to interest them, you are dead wrong. This is why even poor people lock their homes, because thieves want to get in and take whatever you have, even if it's a very little bit. Marxists are thieves. We all need to understand this. They are thieves. They are murderers. They are liars. They have absolutely no morals. And Saul Alinsky, one of the famous communists here in America, is known for having said that the ends justify the means. That was his whole philosophy. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you win in the end. This is the Marxist idea. So we need to understand who these people are, what they espouse, and what their goals are. And once you understand all that, you're going to have a hard time not going to war with them.
I don't even know how to respond to this except to say that we need to advocate for healing. We need to advocate for hope. We need to advocate for peace as long as we possibly can. And then if forced, we must take our defense individually, families, areas, whatever you want to call them. I don't like using the word community because it comes from communism. But we need to defend our neighborhoods and our families and those around us. We need to protect one another. And we're supposed to protect one another if we keep our oaths, really to ourselves and to our family and to our God, to defend one another from enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, as the domestic government literally turns us all into terrorists by edict and manipulation, they've become the terrorist group. What do you say, Becky? They become the terrorist group themselves. They call us terrorists, but they're the ones that are the terrorists. They're the ones that work for us. The tail can't wag the dog. The creation can't pretend the creator is a terrorist. Okay, we the people are not the terrorists. They are.
Absolutely. Government is always terroristic. This is how governments function. They threaten to kill, ultimately, anyone who doesn't go along with their edicts. Okay, even the government under the Constitution, in that sense, was a terroristic government. If you had tariff laws that were passed in the early 19th century and you did not obey those tariff laws as an importer or merchant, you could be arrested. You could be fined. If you continued to resist and refuse to obey, you can ultimately be killed. That is the point of any law. We saw that this last year with the nonsense on COVID, where they were willing to jail and kill people who refused to go along with them. So that's always, governments always are terroristic organizations, but Marxist governments dispense with any kind of screen and just rely on pure terror.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio, author of Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, two incredible novels.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio. So I wanted to start with the premise that these governments are out of control, ladies and gentlemen. They're literally doubling down. They're literally calling us terrorists. And I wish the two founders' example, based on Benjamin Rush's dream, could really help America heal. And I pray for that. But the National Education Association, the NEA, that's the nation's largest teachers union, has now pushed critical race theory, and they have a plan to implement CRT across the country. in 14,000 school districts across all 50 states. The mainstream press finally talking about this. We've been talking about this for decades, but they're finally discussing critical race theory. That's the idea that if you're white, you're a racist. So systemic, you probably don't even realize how racist you are. There's nothing you can do to ever change it. If you're not white, you're a victim. You're never a racist. Impossible to be one because you're a victim. And boy, howdy, does this go psychotic. But it's being taught everywhere now. Big business, government schools. And what they say is if you don't like it, run for the school board. Well, I don't know why you'd ever run for the school board of a Communist Manifesto principle. The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto calls for compulsory education. And once they push compulsory education and you agree to put your kids in the government school, ladies and gentlemen, then you're literally agreeing that they can do whatever they want with your child. You don't have any jurisdiction, say the courts, after your kids walk through that government school, that communist school doorway. You're out of luck as a parent. Don't forget that reality of who's in charge, and they're going to make sure you know it. And so my only recommendation is that kids or parents need to yank their kids out of government school and never, ever, ever, ever send them back. We need to build our own institutions. Homeschooling, private schooling with no government money, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of parents say they can't do that. I get it, but you got to make some tough choices somewhere if you don't want your kids indoctrinated flat out in communism by mandate and funding of the taxpayer via strong arm, you know, at the end of a government gun tactics to fulfill this agenda. Now, some would say, Sam, you're a little too hardcore on this, aren't you, Sam? I don't think so, Becky. I think you're calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, and I would go so far as to say if you can't teach your kids at home, then you have no business bringing them into the world. That is your responsibility. You should have that commitment to them before they're born. Government schools are sheer evil. They always are, but especially when Marxists are in charge. And government schools provide indoctrination in government. You know, in other words, telling kids that governments are wonderful things and that we need government or we will descend into chaos and nobody wants chaos. And, you know, who will run the roads and how will we defend ourselves without government? And they don't give you the full story. They don't tell your kids that when cops stop them, they have a good chance of dying. They don't tell your kids that stop and frisk is unconstitutional, no matter what nine jerks in robes have to say about it. You know, in the government schools, kids are indoctrinated to conform and to be good little serfs to government. If you can't prevent that from happening to your child, you have no business bringing them into the world.
There you have it. The problem is that, you know, in the past, they've been so kind of, I don't know what you call it, but on the down low in the way they've been educating children in sexual promiscuity and literally psychotic sexual behavior. They've been teaching children principles of indoctrination, communism, socialism for literally decades. But it's just starting to, as the American people have taught their children at home because of COVID, as people start to dig into what's being taught to their children, people are waking up in droves and going, wait a minute, what the heck is going on? But this is nothing new. And so the problem is it's so late in the game that they've been teaching this. For example, there's a sham poll out. I call it a sham poll anyway. They say it's a legitimate poll. It's from Issues and Insights, and they basically say, hey, only 36% of young adults are proud to be an American these days. Now, it's a debate what proud to be an American means, but my whole point about this, they say overall, 44% of respondents said that they're extremely proud to be American, 23% said somewhat proud, 15% said not proud at all. Anyway, some said they were not sure. It goes on and on and on. Now, I don't really want to say that I'm proud to be an American, because if we're not very careful, we mix up those terms. Am I proud to be part of the general government that acts tyrannically and promotes communism flat out? No, I'm not. Am I proud to have liberty and be in a country that, in the traditional sense, should be defending the sacred cause of liberty, that looks to God rather than government? By a founding father-esque understanding and leadership point of view, of course I am. But I'd say I'm grateful for my liberties, but I don't depend upon government as the guarantor. In fact, government's taking away liberty faster than I can defend it at this point. So being proud to be an American is a weird term to even discuss, Becky.
Oh, I agree. And you've raised excellent points. I think that many of us who consider ourselves proud of America are hearkening back to the earlier history when liberty was upheld, when liberty was promoted. I'm extremely proud to be a descendant of men who fought in the American Revolution. Now, by that, I don't mean that I'm proud of something over which I have no control. The Lord put me into the family he chose for his reasons, and I had no control over that. But I am very proud to be an heir of a philosophy of people willing to put their lives on the line for that philosophy that says no man has the right to boss other sinful men around, that rulers are as sinful as the rest of us. We ought not empower them over us, that liberty is God's greatest gift after salvation, and that we are to defend it with our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. I'm extremely proud to be part of that tradition, to have had ancestors that were willing to lay down their lives for that. And I am willing to lay down mine for that, and all of us should be. And lest you think we're speaking lightly, you should understand that the day is on its way and may be here where we are going to start seeing people killed for freedom. Okay, we have nearly 500 fellow Americans and patriots who are being caged right now in the American version of the Bastille. They are in Washington, D.C. They have been denied any sort of habeas corpus. They are being vindictively abused by the Biden administration. These are the January 6th patriots of whom I'm speaking. And against all constitutionality, against all decency, they have been imprisoned because they dared to enter the Capitol building. Who pays for that? Whose money goes to defend the Capitol, to furnish it, to pay the leeches that infest it? Okay, that is all our money. Any of us have the right to walk in there at any moment, for any reason, at any time. And yet these people have been imprisoned and are being abused. I would even say tortured. They're being held in solitary confinement, which is a recognized method of torture. So that's what's going on. When people like Chuck Norris want us to reconcile with the Marxists who are committing these kinds of crimes, I really don't think he understands Marxism at all or the nature of Marxists.
I understand your point, and I get the desire, ladies and gentlemen, to have peace. I get wanting to put that foot forward. I get it. And I don't agree. I don't disagree with the general idea that we want peace. The problem with, and the point Becky's making on this is, look, these people are enemies. These people are not our friends, and they're not willing to have peace. The proof of the point, if you will, right now is that, look, no matter how peaceful we try to be, okay, I never went to the Capitol, but yet somehow Joe Biden calling me literally a terrorist. For what? For believing in God, family, and country? For advocating for the rule of law? For wanting transparency and accountability for those who work for me? Okay, is that what I'm being called a terrorist for? What laws have I violated? I've been a self-governing model citizen. But yet I'm duped and dubbed as a terrorist by your out-of-control government right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this is kind of where I kind of start to say, you know what? This is out of control. This is not acceptable. And that's the point Becky's making, is how do you have peace with people like this? That's the problem. When we come back, we'll talk more about it. The New York Times says the U.S. flag is divisive. You think? We'll talk about it. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight, a lot straight ahead.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams won the Democrat primary for New York City mayor on Tuesday evening. Adams says he's a moderate Democrat and has promised to strike a balance between fighting crime and ending racism in the NYPD. New York City's first election using a ranked choice voting system ended in 135,000 test ballots being added to the election totals, putting earlier results into disarray. The Biden administration fell short of its goal to have 70% of all American adults receive at least one COVID-19 vaccination by July 4th. So on Tuesday, the administration announced a new plan to take vaccinations door-to-door to see your papers.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door-to-door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people.
The administration's goal is to boost vaccine participation. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot from my great friends at Freedom Fest. Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? Well, here's your opportunity. This July 21st through 24th, thousands of liberty lovers are headed to South Dakota for the greatest libertarian show on earth, Freedom Fest, this time held at the Rushmore Civic Center in Rapid City, South Dakota, with a record-setting crowd. Here's your chance to make new friends and meet the country's top political and business leaders, authors, and filmmakers in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some of the star speakers this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Drew, Larry Elder, U.S. Senator Mike Lee, U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, Steve Moore, John Fun, Grover Norquist, Tom Woods, and the infamous pandemic mock trial. Go to freedomfest.com. Use promo code WAR50 to get $50 off the registration fee. That's freedomfest.com. With promo code WAR50, fly there, drive there, bike there, RV there, be there. Freedom Fest in South Dakota. Get your tickets now at freedomfest.com.
Russian hackers strike again. Now what? Dan Rafi reports.
More than 1,500 businesses around the world have been affected by the largest ransomware attack ever recorded. The attack occurring over the July 4th holiday weekend against U.S.-based IT software company Kaseya. Russian hacking gang R-Evil has taken credit for the attack, demanding a $70 million ransom. The hack puts more pressure on President Biden to respond to Russia over the attack. Former Defense Intelligence Agency officer Rebecca Koffler says the U.S. needs to respond, and strongly. She tells Fox News that the federal government has been asleep at the wheel in preventing cyber attacks.
President Biden said that he has directed the intelligence community to do a deep dive. Well, it is very unfortunate that the deep dive is being directed after the attack and not before. So we have been sleeping at the wheel with regard to the Russian threat. So that's number one. So we have to catch up in terms of understanding their mindset and how they intend to use cyber.
USA Radio News.
All right, Becky Akers with me, ladies and gentlemen, well-known author, columnist, and more. Writes for Lou Rockwell and many other great publications, by the way. Her new novels, well, I shouldn't say they're new now, but they're great novels nevertheless. Abducting Arnold, The Other Side of the Benedict Arnold Story, you probably haven't heard. And Nathan Hale, Hailstorm is what it's called, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest American patriots ever known. Get your books today. Incredible stuff. So, Becky, now the New York Times says... Hey, you know, the American flag is divisive, Becky. I'm just going, you think? I wonder why. How dumb am I, Becky? Are you kidding me right now?
It is divisive because it has presided over a great many American embassies around the world that have done nothing but try to undermine other people's governments. It has presided over regime change. There is no authorization in the Constitution that allows government to go, our federal government, to go around the world sowing murder and mayhem and working clandestinely with the CIA to get rid of other rulers it doesn't like that refuse to kowtow to the feds. So I can see that that's why the flag would be divisive, because it's been used to sanction all this.
So let me tell you what the flag should symbolize, in my humble opinion, and what the flag currently symbolizes, which I believe to be the problem. What the flag should symbolize is we are a nation under God Almighty, and government, if existing at all, should be very limited in scope and chained down by the consent of the governed via the Constitution, the contract. The problem is when government breaks the contract at literally every turn, that government is so rogue that it creates dishonor. The flag, sadly, is starting to represent that dishonor, number one. Number two, around the world, instead of America being a beacon on a hill of turning to God, of self-governing individuals, as de Tocqueville talked about in the early days of the country, where America is great because America is good. It wasn't that the government was good. It was that the people were moral and good, honest people. They didn't have a whole lot of laws, but they didn't need them because they were self-governed under the guidelines of God Almighty. Okay, but then as the nation continued, it became a war nation. We have become a war nation. We have become a nation builders, or whatever you want to call it. We have become the war machine. We fund both sides of wars. We're dishonest. We meddle in every other country on the planet's affairs. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, right now, as a matter of fact. We literally fund the military-industrial complex, the war machine. We have become a warlike people and nation. We love war. We love destruction. We love violating the sovereignty of other nations to the point where the flag is just becoming dishonored because we betrayed every principle that made America great in the first place. And we're not a beacon on a hill as we should be and as the founders intended. And we're not a country that looks to God. We look to government to give us everything these days, as socialists and communists and fascists always do. And so I believe it's dishonor brought on America, on the government that has created this symbol, the flag, the dishonor that, sadly, it deserves. You know, I don't blame people when they want to hang the flag upside down or when they want to burn it. I'm not really willing or wanting to do either, but I get their sentiments. I get their frustration. I get their anger. I get their sadness for the betrayals that have been going on via false flag operations for literally hundreds of years now. I get the banking cartel lording over everybody and printing money out of thin air and using that to warlike and promote all kinds of perversions everywhere and literally mock and turn our backs on God as a nation. I get those frustrations. And I think that's what this discussion is about, Becky.
Oh, I agree. I agree entirely. I don't know about your audience and you, Sam, but when I look at the American flag now, I see a federal government. I see it symbolizes a federal government that is working its hardest to destroy freedom in this country. I see it symbolizing an illegitimate, unelected, usurping, quote, president. I think of it as an evil empire to rival the Soviet Union with all of the skullduggery it's undertaken around the world, with the people it is persecuting and abusing in prisons. And I'm not talking now just about January 6th patriots. There are a great many people in American prisons who are political prisoners. They do not belong in prison. They have committed no crime. They have no victims. What they did was violate a bureaucrat's will and a bureaucrat's whim. And they have been imprisoned because of that. That's a political prisoner. So that's what I see when I look at the American flag now. I don't want it. I would never salute it. I wouldn't turn my back on it as that Olympic athlete did, simply because I don't want anyone to think I'm a Black Lives Matter Marxist. However, I will not stand for it. You know, there are churches that have so far abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ. They will actually have a worship ceremony of the American flag in their service. I do not stand for that. Everybody rises and salutes the flag. I don't do any of that. I remain seated. Why? Because, first of all, no matter how, let's say we had a perfect government that did not violate our liberty in any way, still, it is a monumental third. First is God, then is family, and then way, way down, miles below those two, comes the country. So I'm not into this flag worship. I think patriots need to wake up from this, need to realize what the flag is symbolizing now. It's not good as long as it symbolizes an empire as evil as the American one.
Now, I feel slightly different because I believe the flag stands for liberty and the flag stands for government obeying its proper role. and government's being limited and chained down by the contract, the Constitution, whether it be the federal or, you know, the general Constitution or the state constitutions. I believe the government is chained down. It's, at least it's supposed to be. So I am willing to pledge allegiance to the flag in so much as it carries out its proper role. In other words, it derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. And so I celebrate that honorable intention that it ought to be, not what it has become. And so that's just the way I choose to do it. I get, though, the frustration. And here's the problem. If somebody wants to burn the flag, many would say, no, let's pass a law to stop them from burning the flag. By golly, how dare they not be patriotic, or how dare they? I'm fine with somebody burning the flag if they feel so inclined, because they have every right to demonstrate their displeasure as they think best. Okay? Now, I wouldn't burn the flag myself, but I support somebody's right to do so if they choose. Okay? And just like Becky, she doesn't want to stand up with the flag. I support her right not to stand. Just as if I do stand, I want my right supported and my intention. There are many other flags that I support. You know, the snake flag, you know, whatever you want to call it, flag that they call now the South white supremacist flags, whatever else. You know, I have a lot of belief in those flags as well, because those celebrated along our way in the Constitutional Republic. They were a defense of states' rights. They were a defense of turning to God in many ways. And so a lot of that symbolism I still hold on to and respect. But again, I'm not here to judge everyone else for their decisions. Here's the problem in America. What we want to say is, if you don't bake a cake for the gays, you're an enemy. But if you don't want to stand for the flag, you're an enemy too. Oh, but if you stand for the flag, you're an enemy. And we're just divided on every single topic under the sun. And rather than understanding the First Amendment and the right of free expression and free speech and free thought and the right of one's own conscience, we have jettisoned that defense also. And that's why I speak to this. Becky and I may not have the same exact reaction, but can we still agree and be friends and be kind and be respectful of one another's views and try to put ourselves in each other's shoes to understand the reasons we have the views we have and why we behave the way we behave, and whether we agree or disagree, respect it and leave honor to it? Can we do that in America? And sadly, most can't these days, Becky.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, Sam, I think it would be very prudent to discuss what exactly is patriotism.
I agree.
Is patriotism supporting a flag? Is it loving a flag? No. The flag is merely a piece of cloth, and what we have to do is think about what it symbolizes. I'm with you. If the flag symbolizes a country that loved liberty, that gave liberty its paramount value, that considered liberty the highest political goal, and that adamantly rejected any politician, and of course there wouldn't be bureaucrats in a country like that, but adamantly rejected any politician who tried to subvert liberty, who tried to take away even the minutest quantity of it, man, I would love that flag and what it symbolized, okay? This is like people when they go to D.C. and it's like, this is real patriotic. No, it isn't. No, the Capitol building is not a symbol of patriotism. The Capitol building is a symbol of tyranny and of leaders that are destroying our freedom.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Becky's question is a good one. What is patriotism? What is the true meaning? People think patriotism is like Christmas these days, don't they? Just unwrap a bunch of presents, guzzle down a bunch of beers, and yay, hurrah to the flag, and that's the end of that. How deceived they are. Hang tight. Becky Akers in seconds.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com. Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Beck Yeagers wisely asks the question, what is the true meaning of patriotism? Is it wave the flag, not having a clue what the flag really symbolizes or stands for or what you're agreeing to? Is patriotism standing up for every, quote, war hero on the planet, whether they've been involved in unjust wars or not? Is patriotism being delighted that we have dishonest fake money that they print on printing presses and betray the constitutional edict of gold and silver currency for honest money? Is patriotism voting into office those tyrants who would abuse us? Or is patriotism a love of the sacred cause of liberty and all expressions of that love of liberty to the core, to the center of your heart and being, true expressions of liberty to be honored and all else to be shunned? What is the true meaning of patriotism, Becky?
I would say that was it, Sam, that patriotism involves fighting for, valuing, reverencing liberty and opposing any effort, no matter what the excuse, no matter who puts it forward, to deprive any person of freedom, to diminish our freedoms. The patriots that I see right now are the people fighting D.C. as hard as they can, fighting their state governors, people that at the height of the pandemic idiocy refused to wear a mask. Those are patriots. People now who are refusing to take the jab, who are refusing to bow down to the globalists and cooperate with a globalist agenda. Those are patriots. People that want freedom to reign without limitation in this nation. Those are patriots. People who put their money where their mouth is and went to D.C. and protested a stolen election. Those are patriots. And they are now paying a price that more and more patriots are going to have to pay unless we band together and go to war. I mean a literal shooting war against the Marxists.
Where do we go from here when we think of patriotism? Because to me, patriotism is not just a wave the flag or something we do on the 4th of July or Constitution Day or at Christmas. It's not a, hey, we all get presents, we all get handouts from the government. It's a fundamental upholding of the principles of liberty. So at least in terms of the constitutional supreme law of the land right now, it would be the dividing of powers horizontally and vertically, insisting on the checks and balances, insisting on holding bureaucrats and professional do-gooders and elected and appointed officials accountable whenever they act beyond the scope of their chained down, limited roles. If they're not acting in accordance with the consent of the governed based on the contract we gave them, they need to be criminally prosecuted and removed from office immediately. These upholding of these fundamental principles and the demands of the Declaration of Independence articulated in the Constitution, if they act outside of their scope, it's our duty to fire them, to shut them down, to hold them criminally liable for their abuses and behaviors. And to me, that upholding of liberty, it's an action word, this idea of patriotism. It's not a passive wave of the flag discussion being completely disconnected from reality. It is an obligation. The founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. It is a duty not to be taken lightly if we ever expect to maintain our freedoms. Otherwise, we will flat out lose them to tyrants. patriotism is an action word.
Sam, I would just like to add that many people have this idea that the armed forces are patriots. And we all need to, patriots must honor the armed forces. And I want to say this is complete and utter balderdash. I was very intrigued during one of the last wars over the last decade or so. A newspaper in New York used to publish, and it was a conservative newspaper, and therefore it idolized the military. And they used to publish little bios of members of the armed forces who had died, okay? So they published bios of fatalities in whatever war this was. I don't remember. There have been so many. And I was fascinated. They had a little, they gave the name, the rank, the age. They had a little form that was all filled out, and then there were a couple of paragraphs on the person himself. But one of the questions they asked was, why did this person sign up? And I guess they got the information from the families or from letters or whatever. But, even though the guy was deceased, they would always have his reason for signing up. I was fascinated that not one time did any of them say, because I love my country. All of them said variations of two things. Number one, I got good job training. The job training is what drew me in. I can get a great job when I get out of the service. The second reason was I can go around the world on the taxpayer's dime. And they were very upfront about this. There was no, pussyfooting around and, I get a chance to. I can go around the world and somebody else will pay for it. Now, these are utterly selfish motives, and there's nothing wrong with a selfish motive, okay? Most of us go to work out of a selfish motive. We want to eat, okay? We're willing to go and exchange a day's labor so that we can eat that night. Selfish motive. That's fine. But where it diverges from good selfishness into bad is when you're expecting somebody else to pay for it. These guys that sign up, and Sam, I grew up in an area in the Midwest where most people don't go on to college. Most people, you get out of high school and basically your option is go work in McDonald's or join the service. So a lot of people where I grew up went on and became military folks. And, I go home and what I'm treated to are churches that have services glorifying the service. Instead of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, they're intent on glorifying the service. Most churches at home will have a bulletin board when you first walk in with all of the service members' pictures and names and where they're staying. Please pray across the top. And I'm always thinking, I'm going to pray for their victims. Okay, this is not patriotic to sign up with an evil empire and agree to go and kill people you have never known who have not done a thing to hurt you. Different matter. If the Japanese or the Russians or the Chinese are invading our country and threatening to kill us and our family, perfectly all right then. Go right ahead and shoot. But to sign up so you can go around the world or you can get free job training with an empire as totally evil as the American one is now, that's not in any stretch of the imagination patriotism. And we are not patriotic if we are worshiping the military.
And we're not protecting our interests either, unless you want to talk about the banker's interest of fake money. We've turned the instead of a constitutional currency, gold and silver in the United States, as the supreme law calls for, okay? We've created fiat currency where they print it on a printing press. They rip us off right from the start, charge us interest. But then they've tied it to oil, the petrodollar, if you will. And they've tied it to oil around the world, forcing other countries to literally deal in our currency to keep the con game alive. I mean, it is criminal behavior at the highest levels. It's global in nature. It's evil. It's satanic. And this is what then we use our military then to mandate the upholding thereof.
That's absolutely correct. There is nothing patriotic in this. It's evil. And for all of us to go along with this and jump to our feet and rah-rah the military and all the heroes are coming home. No, this is not patriotism. What this is tyranny, and it's extending tyranny overseas. And it's no wonder that much of the world hates America. I think we would hate any country that did to us what American governments have done to other countries.
And sadly, as we continue to violate the laws of God, we lose God's protection. And it is now starting to be done to us, whether it be the coronavirus, the global elite create this virus and release it around the world. Whether you believe the virus is real or not, they've destroyed economies over the boogeyman fear of it. They have literally now forced people to wear masks, and then now they're forcing the jab on people, violating people's rights of conscience. If you want to murder your baby, they say you have the right to your body. But if you don't want to take a man-made toxin that is not even tried and proven or tested to acceptable levels, etc., they say you don't have a choice. What are you, some kind of a terrorist? And they literally manipulate the people globally, but especially in the United States, almost even more so than globally, to these narratives that are just disingenuous at the least. Where's the transparency? Where's the accountability for Fauci, who he's been caught lying over and over and over? Him and his colleagues who have shut down all kinds of frontline physicians who try to stand up and tell the truth, but get shut down by big tech and government in bed together in a fascist coup kind of a scenario. These are the kind of things that we're experiencing and dealing with. And then what we do is say, by golly, if you want to be patriotic, you better put on your mask. That's the way to show patriotism. And we're all mixed up and deceived. And it's surprising to me how Americans can fall for this so completely. I mean, there's few dissenters such as myself, and I get ridiculed and abused and death threats and all kinds of different things for my stance. But I will not back down. I'm telling you right now, this is insanity. And I fear for where we're headed if we don't get a grip on it and turn to God Almighty and fast. But anyway, that's my take, Becky. What do you say?
Yeah, patriotism has nothing to do with supporting a government. Patriotism, or it's armed bullies that go around the world enforcing its will, or it's bureaucrats at home, or it's politicians that put it all into play. Patriotism is desiring the best for your country, and that means desiring freedom, freedom from government, freedom from a military, freedom to pursue your own happiness in the way that you see fit, freedom to live your life without interference from others, especially violent interference, such as government specializes in. So that's what freedom is, and that's what patriotism is, desiring and propagating that kind of freedom. So to have the idea that a flag that symbolizes an oppressive, corrupt, and tyrannical government, to have the idea that that flag is something we revere, I'm sorry, that's just not patriotism.
As I mentioned, I revere the intent of the founders with the flag. I revere the principles that made America great. The flag is nothing but a symbolism of that. The flag isn't just a cloth, as Becky says, but it's the symbolism that I hold in my heart about it. It's kind of like the Constitution is nothing but a piece of paper. But yet it's the principles that I hold in my mind about chaining down bureaucrats so that none get too much power, that the checks and balances are wisely applied to create accountability and transparency, that we the people are self-governed based on the laws of God, not any edicts of government. In fact, if we obey the laws of God, the edicts of government would be completely unnecessary. Anyway, I bring that up because, you know what, we can have different views on this, folks. Here's the problem. A lot of people are going to listen to this show and say, how dare you have on Becky, who just hates everything. And I would say, hates everything what? Immoral and unconstitutional? I'm grateful to have her on the radio because that is the truth. We should embrace good and reject evil at every opportunity. We should make popular that which is good and make unpopular that which is bad. And if you can't handle that kind of free thinking and open discussions, well, then how American are you? That's what I would ask. Hour one in the can, Becky Akers with me. She'll be with me the second hour, too. And man, have we got some barn burner discussions to have coming up. Becky Akers with me, ladies and gentlemen. She's a freelance writer. She's an author. Her incredible books, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots ever known, and Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. Incredible new novels. Ask for them by name before they're banned. God save we the people.